Gemara explicitly goes on to say, Amar Karna Dvarim Bego. Karna said, something's going on here. Because it doesn't make sense to say that you need both a get and a miyun. In get lama miyun, if there is a requirement of get, which means that we're worried that the kedushin is chal, then how could she, or what would be the purpose of having miyun? Miyun means that when there's a kedushin drabanan arranged by the mother or the brother, when there is no father, then the ketana has a right to walk away from that kedushin through miyun. But if there's a real kedushin daraisa, because the father's input is considered to be an issue, then what is miyun going to help? In miyun, if there is miyun, implying that it's only kedushin through rabbanan at best, then lama liget. So the Gemara says, Amrlei hamar ukva ubedini bekafri. First they thought they would go to mar ukva, then abchu shadru kamei derav. They switched the formulations of who said what. Rashi explains that they were worried that Rav, in when he heard this issue, because he was so fond of Shmuel, that he would be biased when he heard who said what, and they wanted an objective view. That's what their chashash was. So apchu, so they switched who said what, and shadru lekamei derav. Amalahu, when Rav heard this, he said, Holokim, tzricha get, the tzricha miyum. So he confounded them completely. They switched the names on him, and he heard the case, and he said, I'm shocked that somebody of the stature of Shmuel would give such an incorrect psak. In other words, not only did he prove his objectivity, but then some. He, you know, kind of reprimanded Shmuel for an inferior position on the matter.
Well, this whole area, I mean, a dayan, I guess without the adequate disclosure, does not have a problem with the fact that one of the people he knows.
Not to consciously.
What?
Not consciously. I mean, the problem here wasn't that they were suspecting
no,
that
Rob. Saying, now when you. But, oh, I see.
They were thinking that unconsciously he would be influenced. If they said to him, listen, we have a machlokas here. And this is what Shmuel said, and this is what the other fellows
were
kind of
said. Credibility to the other view.
But they were worried that he would be, you know, he would be influenced. But as I say, he did better. He gave a little, reprimand to Shmuel. I'm surprised you came up with such an inferior. And it's particularly interesting because, this is a fascinating little nugget here in the Gemara. But what's particularly interesting about it is that it's not as if this psak of Tzricha Get and Tzricha Miyun is such an obvious psak either. The truth is that the logic one would think would be with Karna, who said Yesh Dvarim Bego, there's something going on here. What kind of posturing is this? You need a Get and you need a Miyun. So Rav came up with the difficult psak, lectured Shmuel in the process. I mean, he really came through with flying colors. So, okay. The Gemara says, Tamamai, Amravacha, Bred Ravika, Tzricha Get Shem Nisratza Av Bekidushin, Tzricha Miyun Shem Alon Nisratza Av Bekidushin, V'yom Rein Kidushin Tovs and Vachos. That we need a get, just in case the father ends up agreeing and it's a Kidushin Daraisa. We need Miyun because we're worried that, let's say, it isn't a Kidushin Daraisa. So then, if this fellow would end up being Mekadesh, her sister, the person who we tried to Mekadesh originally, sister, so since we demanded a get because of the possibility that it really was a kedushin, we would also think that you don't need a get from the sister, because the rule is that you cannot marry your ex-wife's sister as long as she is alive. So if she says ex-wife, the haraya, we require a get, then the sister doesn't require a get. We just ignore that kedushin. But what about on the chance that basically the father will not agree, or it doesn't matter if he agrees, and there really isn't a kedushin. So then he really could marry her sister, and she would end up being actually an Eishes Ish. So for that reason, they required a miyun as almost like a signal to the courts, as if to say, you know, we're requiring a get here, but it's not so simple. We're requiring a get because of Safek, but that Safek is all that there is, and therefore, if he ends up trying to marry her sister, you would require a get there, be Safek, as well. So it's a signal, essentially. That's the Gemara. Okay. The rest we're not going to continue at the moment because we want to get to the... That's one Gemara. Then if you go on Mem Hey Omid Aleph, saw that as well. So the Gemara elaborates this more fully. Gemara speaks about the miyun issue. In the end, the Gemara tells the story of a certain individual who tried to be meshadech his son to somebody else's daughter. Then the Gemara discusses whether that's doable or not. We discussed this last week. Very important Gemara, very important issue. Then the Gemara has another case on Mem Heyom Beis. Sorry, it's the first page, page 90, you see in this one. The Gemara discusses a person's Mekadesh Bashuk with a Davar Muat. And finally, the Gemara has the case where there's a dispute between husband and wife where whether to marry the daughter to his relative or to her relative. The Gemara says, Ahud Amar Lekrevai, Vihi Amar Lekreva. There's a dispute between husband and wife to marry off to his relative or to her relative. Kaftiya Ad Amar La Tehavi Lekreva. And the wife imposed her will in this case, and he agreed. So the Gemara tells the story, Ad Achli Vashosi, Asa Krevei Beigra Vikidsha. Before the actual wedding took place, but after the agreement, so one of his relatives showed up and proposed to the girl on the roof. So Rabbi Ksiv shares his Yasa Avla Veloy Dabru Chazav. Abaya said, we don't have to worry that the father might agree to this, because he already reluctantly agreed with his wife that she would marry, the daughter would marry one of his relatives. And Rava says Chazak Einu Tereva Suda Mafsida. That no, the reason is not because he agreed. The reason is because they already invested in the wedding. And by binayu, he came out below tarach. Let's say he didn't yet expend any money, no expenditures yet for the wedding. And we discussed this as well. When do you say sheris yisrael lo yasa avla? And I pointed out there's a very nice gilyoni ashas, or Rabbi Bill Spengel points out that if you look in Bav Metzia, you have what seems to be a similar discussion, but Abaya and Rava are on opposite sides of the situation there. Gemara there discusses the problem of Mishapara, which means that if you have a, if you buy something, metaltalin, karka you can buy with karka, mos, or keset, that's clear. Can you buy metaltalin, mobilia, can you buy that with money, or do you have to do a kinyan mashicha? So the Gemara discusses whether metaltalin are acquired through mamon or not. The Gemara says that even if daraisa not, there's still a yesh alav b'mishapara. There's a kind of a obligation to honor the monetary agreement. If I give you $100 for this bag, so even if minatora b'kinyan is a tchal, the fact that I've given you the money, the agreement has gone so far that it's included money, so it's something called a mishapara. It means you're committed and obligated and you have to go through with the sale. There's a debate between Abaye and Rava, how far does mishapara go? Is it like a klala b'shem Hashem? What exactly is it? So here, Rava is the one who is machmir and Abaye is mekel in terms of how terrible is this klala. And it's based on the basic idea of Sheris Yisrael, Lo Yasa Avla. So Rabbi Yosef Engel points out, one would have thought that here Abaye is the one who's quoting Sheris Yisrael, Lo Yasa Avla. Rava is saying, no, it's because he already put money towards the wedding. It sounds like Sheris Yisrael, Lo Yasa Avla, giving his word, isn't enough. And there, he thinks it's a bigger klala because of Sheris Yisrael, Lo Yasa Avla, or its equivalent. And Abaye thinks it's a lesser klala. So how could that be? So the answer is that there's a tshuva, the Maram Rutenberg, where he basically says, that backing out on a commitment, on an oral, on a verbal commitment, also shares Yisrael Yasa Avla. And then he says, this is Maram Rutenberg, and he says, you'll tell me that really seems to be a debate between Abaye and Rava, quoting this Gemara. After all, Rava said the only reason that we're not worried that he wants to marry off his daughter to his relative who proposed on the roof is because he invested already in the wedding. But otherwise, we should be concerned about that. So Rambam says, yeah, that's because to begin with, it was a reluctant commitment. He really wanted to marry off his daughter to his relative, just that his wife pressured him, and therefore he gave in. So then, when his relative showed up on the roof and proposes, shares his Yasa, it's true he committed already, but it was a reluctant commitment. It wasn't an enthusiastic one, that's for sure. He just, he was... he was outmaneuvered in a way. So in that case, Rava thinks that Sheris Yisrael, Yasa Avla, when he feels that he was pressured, It doesn't have the same kind of force. Moreover, it's psychological, meaning the issue isn't whether or not the right thing for him to do is, you know, to honor his commitment. The issue is whether or not his commitment is so ironclad that we're not concerned that maybe he changed his mind and he agrees or gives his tacit assent to his relative's proposal on the roof. Right. So the case in Bab Metzia is a case, A, where there's no reluctance, there's no pressure. B, there it's a pure halachic question, what is the power of, what is objectively, halachically, what is the power of the commitment? Not psychologically, how do we perceive the impact of this halachic commitment on his likelihood of retracting and so on. So really there are two different issues here, which again, just like the earlier issue, just goes to show you that, you know, halacha can be complicated. Not everything is, you know, a little more or a little less. Not everything is in a straight line. There are other factors always that need to be considered. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on, and this is what we really want to finish up, and discusses the parallel to the previous case. The previous case was Niskadsha Shalola Das Avia, and the Chashash of Achakach Ratza Avia. The father's interested later on. Okay. Now the Gemara discusses Niskad Shaladas Avia, the Halakavia La Medina Sayam, the Amda Vinises. What happened if at the time of the Kiddushin the father was present, right? And he gave his full blessing. Then he goes traveling at the time of the Nisuin, and she completes the Ishus without his presence. So the Gemara says there's a debate on that point as well. Amarav Ochelos Betruma Ad Sheyavo Aviyah V'Yimcha. Rav said that we can presume his assent to the extent that if she marries a Kohen, she can already start eating Truma, even before we find out. Vavasi Amar Eino Ochelos Shema Yavo Aviyah V'Yimcha V'Nimtzes Zara Ochelos Truma L'Mafreya. We're worried that maybe he'll say no, he'll refuse, he'll exercise his right of refusal, and there we'll end up with Achilas Truma Aidezar Lemafreya. Now, as I think I mentioned last time, this is not as fundamental as it might seem. It might be pretty fundamental, but there's something that neutralizes the impact of this a little, and that is, Minat Torah, she really is allowed to eat Truma for the time of Eirusin. It's just midrabanan that we delay her ability to eat truma. So what looks like a machlokas about a din daraisa actually is a machlokas about a din drabanan. Minat Torah, she can really eat from the shas eirusin. So Rav's view is not as bold as it seems. Either way, the Gemara says, "Have a uvde b'choshla Rav l'hodor Ravasi." Again, a very nice Gemara. Rav was choshesh, was machmir for shitas Ravasi, even though he disagreed with it. He had his own shita that she can eat truma. But out of regard for Avasi's Shita, he was Machmir. Amrav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, Umoda Rav, Shemesa Eni Yarsha. Because even Rav agrees that there's a suffix here, and that's why if the father were to die, if she were to die, he, the husband, would not inherit her estate, because Yerusha depends on Nisuin, and we're not sure whether this Nisuin was really binding or not, because we don't know whether the father was going to say yes or going to say no. Therefore, the principle of Hamotzi Mechavero Alavaraya will apply. And when it comes to Truma, we presume that he would have said yes. When it comes to Yerusha, we make no such presumption. That's the rule of Motzi Mechavero Alavaraya. Okay. Then the Gemara says,
isn't it inconsistent? And why do you make inconsistent?
It's not inconsistent because what we're saying is in one suffix we're makel, and the other suffix we're machmir, because of the rules of applying.
Right.
There's the rule. You don't have the equivalent of motzi mechavero avaraya in the truma case. Now one might think that you have worse because you have suffix iser. So probably you have to say what I mentioned just a minute ago, which is that minat Torah she can really eat mishas erusin. So it's really a suffix derabanan. So it is the same suffix, just the, you know, how you resolve it is different. If it's a suffix derabanan, suffix iser, suffix mamon, but you don't have the equivalent of uki mamon becheskas mare or motzim chavera olam arai. Okay, so that's one argument. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Niskan shel adas, v'nisas shel lo adas, v'yavia kan, what will happen in the following case? Niskan shel adas, v'nisas shel lo adas, same exact case that we're dealing with. She gets married with the father present, but the completion of the marriage, the nisuin, is without him. But, not that he's traveling, but v'avia kan. The difference here is, he's present. He's in town, he knows what's going on, he's present and he's silent. So is his presence and silence better or worse than being unavailable? That's the 2 days of the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Rav Huna Amar Eina Ochelas, Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Ochelas. Same exact argument, whether or not she can eat truma based on the presumption that he would or is in agreement. Okay. Rav Huna Amar Eina Ochelas, the Gemara explains, V'afilu l'rav d'amar ochelas, hasam hu d'lo isala'av. The Gemara says the difference in the cases, even if you held like Rav in the first case, so we can presume his acceptance, here we shouldn't make that presumption because his presence without saying anything is problematic. It's disturbing. It implies that he's angry. Otherwise he'd be saying, oh, you know, my youngest daughter or my oldest daughter, what a pleasure, you know, to hear of or to be invited to, you know, her nisuin. So his silence in this case is worse than guessing. Of course, you can imagine that you know, in theory, you could say exactly the opposite as well, based on the principle of shtika kahoda. If he was really upset, he has the opportunity to register his disapproval. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Ocheles Vafilu Ravasi. Even though Ravasi said before the Amar in Ocheles. Here, he will agree that Ocheles, Hosam, Hu, Deshema, Yavo, Avia, the Yimcha, Aval Hacham, Idishasik, Isnuche, Isnechale. Basically, that exact argument. There, we don't know what he's going to say. Here, his silence is viewed as his assent. Okay, that's Machlokas. Then the Gemara concludes this one other case. What about Niskan Shalol Dasavia, Venisa Shalol Dasavia? The father is present, the father is present for both, but says nothing about either. V'avia kan. Rav Huna Amar Ocheles, Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Eina Ocheles. Again, you have a machlokes, whether she can eat truma under those conditions or not. Omar Ula, so Ula said, again, a very fascinating Gemara, Hod Rav Huna kechomets l'shinayim uka'asha l'inayim. Says Rav Huna's shita is very difficult to understand. Why? How can Rav Huna say that the father is silent for both the kiddushin and the nisuin, that somehow she can eat truma? After all, he is of the opinion that in the case where the father agrees to the kiddushin, so she's an ishus ish daraisa, in that case, right, we're going to say that even though she's an ishus ish daraisa, safek, she can't eat truma. So now when she's not an Eishas Ish Daraisa, and the issue is Daraisa, you know, whether she's a violation of Isar Zar, and here we're going to say all of a sudden that that we presume that he's in agreement? It's a Hachala Kal Shekein. So the Gemara says, therefore, again, this is same theme in the Gemara, Nirin Dibrei Talmud. Even though the Rebbe is usually right, in this case he says, I think that sheet is a nightmare, and I think the Talmud is right and the Rebbe is wrong. Okay. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, my Talmud, Rav Huna. So what is the reasoning of Rav Huna? You have to have something in mind. Hova nasaba maisa yisoma b'chayiha. So the idea of Rav Huna was very fascinating. Rav Huna said, listen, you know, silence once, you know, maybe he's angry, maybe he agrees, who knows. Silence twice betokens a person who has removed himself from his daughter's life. And therefore, she becomes like the equivalent of Yisoma B'chayiv. It's huge chiddush, you could say, just because he's ignoring or neglecting, you know, her interests, that she becomes a Yisoma B'chayiviyah. But it sounds like, not for the legal problems, one would have said, literally, she becomes like Yisoma B'chayiviyah, ki'ilu, her status after Nisur. It's hard to say that legally in this case, because nothing necessarily has taken place. Maybe it means psychologically, meaning we're no longer worried that he's going to object. Either way, The Ramban is very bothered by this Gemara for the following reason. So we have two Gemaras. One is a question of her status after Kiddushin, or her status regarding Kiddushin, Kiddushin Beli Das Av. And the other one is regarding Nisuin Beli Das Av. One would have thought that the two sugyas are the same, that we were speaking of at the end of last time. Yeah.
In all these Gemaras, the Gemaras repeatedly saying, Shema, this is the Das of the Av. I mean, at the risk of asking a question that's too balabatish, why don't we go up to the father and ask him?
Because the issue here isn't only what he thinks now. The issue may also be whether or not we project that this is what he thought then. Let me highlight it the following way. In other words, the first issue is Ketanish and Skatcha Shalom Dasavia, Vachat Nisrat Saha. So there are two issues, really. This is what we discussed at length last week. One is, how's the father likely to respond when he finds out? The second issue, that's a practical question, and as you're correctly saying, why don't we just ask him? But the second issue is a legal issue, and that is, do we care? And a part of that question is, do we believe him? Meaning, she gets married on a Sunday morning. We only track down the father on a Thursday. But the Kiddushin, the Maitza Kiddushin, was on a Sunday. Was it Chal at that point? Let's say we were to believe him. Let's say when he finds out on Thursday, he says, yes. Has she been married for the last 3 days? And if she hasn't, then is she married on Thursday? After all, the Maitza Kiddushin was on Sunday. So there's a legal issue here. Do we believe him? Even if we believe him, does it matter? So what we saw last week was that there are essentially two approaches to this whole Gemara. I tried to link it to a broader question that we find in other Gemaras, and that is, particularly the Gemara Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, Omer Adam Levito Ketana Tzei Vekabli Kiddushayich. A father can give can authorize his daughter to Mekabeles her own Kiddushas. What we saw was the majority of the Rishonim are the opinion that is just not what it seems. The majority of Rishonim say that sounds like he can give her the green light and authorize her to be her own, her own person in this process, but it's really not so at all. Really, this is just his mechanism of either making her a shliach or of establishing how he wants to define Kabbalah's Kiddushin for himself. He's not saying, put it in my pocket, put it in my wallet. He says, put it on my front step, give it to my dog to eat, or put it in the hands of my young daughter. It's Arev, it's Kabbalah. But basically, she has no ability, never mind on a Das and Chalos level, even on a Maisa level, she has no ability to Kabbalah's Kiddushin. All those Gemaras, Daf Tes, Daf Yud Tes, etc., they are just misleading Gemaras. They're all cases where what's really happening is that there's a redefinition of some sort of the actual Kabbalah San Kiddushin, but the parties remain the father and the would-be husband, and there's no daughter. She's a pawn, nothing else. If that's true, then probably Ketanis and Niskatu Shalol Dasaviyah V'achach Nisrat Zahav, maybe, at least I should say probably, maybe, likely, also is not really to be understood as Kiddushin B'Shaito. Because so what? Even if he agrees, the fact is that the Maisa Kiddushin, the Yadli, his Kadesh, is lacking. And therefore, it doesn't matter. Which is why many of the Rishonim explain in that Gemara that maybe it'll only work if the money has not yet been spent. In other words, if he gives her Kesef Kiddushin, $100, okay, on Sunday. And Thursday the father says, yes, I'm thrilled. Does the $100 have to be around on Thursday? Or the shtar, in the case of Kiddushay shtar? Right? So there's a whole group of Rishonim, we saw it last week, Hagos Maimonios, discussion of the Rajab and the Ritva, who say yes, because the real Kiddushin is only going to take place on Thursday. But there's another group of Rishonim, both on Daf Yud Tes and Tes, and even here, who say no. Basically, the father can refuse, or maybe you need his positive input on the Das and Ratzon level, but she can be given authority to be mekabelis her own kiddushin. That's a gemara daf yates. And maybe even if she doesn't receive that authority in advance, right, it'll work in retrospect if he accepts the kiddushin. And that's what's going on here. In which case, maybe you don't need the money to be extant. Because the real kiddushin was on Sunday, not on Thursday. That's a debate in the Rishonim. The Rajba takes a middle position, I think I mentioned this last time. He compares it to kiddushin lachar lamed yom. Like a delayed kiddushin. The Maisa kiddushin is on Sunday, but the Chalosa kiddushin is on Thursday. That's a little different. Then the money, if it was a shtar, maybe it would have to be extant. If it's money, it's enough that there would have to be a repayment. That would be served. That's what the Gemara says, enough nun tesim aleph. The Rashi says that the Rajba says the reason this is so is because she can have a yad, but just because she has a yad liskadesh doesn't mean that he only has the right of refusal. He still has a positive and important role to play, and that is we need his positive agreement, not just his lack of refusal. That's the middle position of the Rajma. There's another middle position, and that is to distinguish between Ketana and Nara, which makes a lot of sense. When it comes to Ketana, you might say that her hands are basically tied. When it comes to a Nara, she's a Gedola. The only thing is the father's alive. That's why he has the ability to interfere. As long as you neutralize his interference, you don't really need him for the Maisa. That's the Hagos Mamunios quotes that Shita. In any case, there are different views. That's why I say, simply asking him, A, do you believe him? Because maybe on Thursday he's happy. That doesn't mean that he would have been happy on Monday if we needed his input then. B, more importantly, even if you do believe him, is it enough? Because what about that gap between those days?
But that's true in Shem Nisratze also.
That's true in
Shem Nisratze. In other words, in this.
We're talking about Shem Nisratze.
I know, but if we don't ask him, but rather pin it on an umdana, it's also true. At the end of the day, does
right, 100%. So that's I said, there are always two issues. So in the end of the day, when the Gemara seems to say that this is a problem, so Rashi says, because in the end we're not sure if he's going to agree or not. The Rif and the Rambam say, Lahalacha, we don't really care if he agrees. Even if we know 100% that he agrees, it's still not enough. Ketana shediskacha shalol dasavia, afilu im akakach nisratza av, and even if the nisratza av afterwards can be projected as something that he always would have wanted, the Rambam and the Rif, it's still not enough.
Do they speak about Nara or only
Ketana? Ketana. The Gemara is about Ketana. But in theory, you could distinguish between Ketana and Nara. Some do, with regard to the question, does the money have to be, still on the table or not? But in theory, you could argue about this, in theory, about this point as well. But the Gemara mostly is talking here about Ketana. The Gemara is talking about Ketana, the Rishonim document. So the question is, if that's the case, then when you look at Nisuin, so you have to ask a simple question, but it doesn't sound in the Nisuin as if it's quite as decisive. There it sounds like the only issue is whether or not the father's refusing, is it silence assent, is it silence refusal, right? But it doesn't sound like if we knew that he would agree, that it wouldn't be enough when it comes to Nisuin. It doesn't sound that way for the Gemara. Even the language is a little different. So that's what the Ramban asked. And that's what we were trying to answer towards the end. The Ramban asked this question. You have it all in front of you. The Ramban said, Pirush Rashi, just use my underlines, it'll go quicker. Pirush Rashi zal she'en choshen l'shem nisratza v'kol shekein l'shem ha'aso shliach elam kein shamanu. Unless we heard explicitly, we don't presume that there's an agreement. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. V'nirash yehu mefaresh im shamanu she'en nisratza v'kudeshes. Even in the case of Erison, if we really, 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 really knew that he wasn't happy about it, that he gave his consent, it would work. Ufumach Svara, Hodr Rabbi shares the Sholei, Shaicha Ali B'Darab Ushmu, and so. Av Rabbeinu Agadol, go back to my underlines, Kasav, Bein Nisratza, Bein Lo Nisratza, Lo Avakidushin. The Rif, and we'll see, this is also the Rambam, say that it doesn't work even if we know that he agrees. Why do I say it's also the Rambam? Look at the Rambam, Perek Gimel, Halacha, Yud, Gimel. The page before. Niskatcha kodim shetivgar shalol das aviyah, eina mekudeshes, afilu nisratza ha'av achashu niskatcha. Even if the father does give his consent, the way the Rambam read the Gemara, and the Rif was, that the Gemara's conclusion was, it's a legal conclusion that even if he does give his consent, it is insufficient. Because the Gemara was discussing, maybe there's a difference if he's present, if he's not, if he's seething, if he's shtika kaho dying, right, as the case may be. So basically, the Rambam and the Rif take the view that lahalacha, tanish and skatcha shel dasavia, nothing's going to help. Unlike Rashi. And that's what bothered the Rambam. Ramban says, if you look back in the Ramban, Bani Miskashe B'Divrayim, he says about the Rif, but he could have said the same criticism, could have made the same criticism of the Rambam. The Halo Dami, the Hasim Nisrat, Alachar Mikan Kamrinam, Kilpirashun, Dakashu Lididu, Hadar Midin Niskashe L'Dasaviyah, V'Halachaviyah L'Medina Sayam, Rabban Rachelis Betrumat Shiavo Aviyah V'Yimcha, Ravasi Choshash, Shema Yavo Aviyah V'Yimcha, Haimba Aviyah Nisrat, Sahakom Odim, Shen Nisueh HaNisuin, Bein L'Truma Bein L'Yerusha. It sounds like that if there had been agreement, if he had come and said, great, everybody would have agreed, at least Mikano Laba, that she can eat Truma, and that the agreement after the fact works. Even Yerusha, could have been Lukamon Bechaskas Mare, Alma Ritzui Ha'av, works. Umayishna Kiddushin Yosu Minisuin, Hare Shneem Bershus Avim, the Yosu Humafsi Minisuin Yosu Minakiddushin. That's when Ramban says, and if anything, the opposite is true. Because Nisuin, right, removes her from his jurisdiction forever. In Erisin, she can still revert to his control. So if we're willing to take his after the fact consent in the Suin, why wouldn't we take his after the fact consent in the less permanent Erisin? And so on. So we tried to explain last time, we began explaining, is that that may be the difference between Kiddushin and Nisuin. Take the Ramban and turn it on its head. Ramban says that in a certain way you need more of his input in Nisuin than Kiddushin because of the consequences of whether this goes through or not are more decisive for him. He loses her forever in one case, in the other case, he still may be able to reassert his control. But instead of looking at the consequences in terms of his ultimate relationship to her, we should rather look at the nature of each transaction. And that's where Nisuin seems to require a lot less than Erisin, and this is part of a larger pattern. The pattern of, in terms of Das, in terms of Eidikiyum, in terms of the possibility of Balkorchov, right? We've mentioned in the past, the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Samach Amud Beis requires Eidikiyum, the presence of witnesses when it comes to Kiddushin. The Tosfos Ri HaZaken says that there's a similar requirement in the Suin. But that is, as far as I know, Shita Siachid. The Rishonim generally do not speak about it. The Rambam, by omission, seems to imply that there's no requirement of Eidikiyum. He mentions Eidikiyum very prominently many times in Kiddushin, but when he speaks about Nisuin, starting from the 10th parak of Hilchos Ishus, Mandekar Shemei, there's no reference at all to witnesses. None at all. And the Achronim discussed it. The Or Tzemeach has a very, very famous long piece about it. He has 4 or 5 pages on the topic, where he says, since the Gemara says that you need Eidikiyum, in the case of Kiddushin, because it's Chav L'Achrini, because when the two people get married, it affects other people beyond themselves. Their relatives, other people who might be involved with her, etc. So he says, all we really have to figure out here is if there's already a Kiddushin, not yet a Nisuin, is there any additional Chav L'Achrini by becoming Nisua? Do you add to the ante of Chav L'Achrini after Kiddushin, when you add Nisuin, that'll dictate whether you need Eidikiyum or not. That's the Or Tzemeach's approach, and that spends several pages trying to figure out whether there is anything or not. But the point may really be that You just don't need Eidei Kiyum in the Suin, because it's not anything like Erison. Erison's creating the same Shem Neish HaSish, it's a whole new status. She's already a Neish HaSish Gemura, as a Neish HaSish. I mean, her betrayal of her husband doesn't make a difference whether it's been Erison or Nisuin. Here and there might be an Afkamina in terms of the Onesh. There are other differences in terms of Yerusha and Afars. How much of a She'er Basar she is, that's how close is a relationship to her husband, that is affected by Nisuin. Yerusha, Tuma, Hafaras Nadarim, I'd say Chedek or Skila in some cases, Nidrabanan Truma, these things are affected by Nisuin. But her being an Eish HaSish, L'chol Devareha, for the rest of the world is concerned, in terms of her new status, that's something that depends only on the Erusin. So the point is that there's a higher level of Das requirement, there are Eidei Kiyum required, all sorts of special laws of Erusin that don't apply to Nisuin. And for those reasons, it seems, this is just an additional one, that Ketana Nisqad Sheshol Das Avia, without the father's input, there's no Maisa Kedusha. But Ketana Shenisei Sheshol Das Avia, that's a different story. There the father has right of refusal, but we do not need his positive input, not on the Maisa level, maybe not even on the Das level. That's why there's a debate in the Rishonim, what happens if he dies? Let's say he marries off his young daughter, and then he dies. I was going to bring it in, I forgot to, but there's this very famous tshuva, which appears both in the Mordechai and in the Hagos Maimonios. The issue is as follows. I had mentioned the beginning of it last week. There's a girl, her father is, there's a girl, her father's very sick, and she's very sick. The father marries off the daughter, Erusin, and then he dies. The husband wants to move to the Nisuin, and the relatives of the girl want to delay, because she's very sick. The husband wants to marry her so that he can be Yoresh for Nechasim. That only takes place once as Nisuin. The relatives, for that very same reason, want to delay things. They'd rather she die before the Nisuin, so they're the ones who benefit from the estate. That's the issue. So the question is, well, you see from our Gemara and other Gemaras that the father plays a role in Nisuin. He can refuse the Nisuin. We speak about Masar Ha'av L'Shluchei Ha'Bal, Gemara in Ksuvas, one of the definitions perhaps of Nisuin. Is the father agreeing to, you know, to phase two? He's handing her over literally to the domain of the husband. We see that the father certainly can be ma'akev, that's clear from our Gemara, and that he plays a role in defining Nisuin. That's the Gemara in Ksuvas. So what will happen if there is no father? She's a ketana. She couldn't have been married on her own. But she is now an Eish HaSish because he married her before he died. Married her off before he died. But he's not going to be there for the Nisuin. So you will not have his positive input, but you will also not have his refusal. Right? That's the case. And that is a debate between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim in this exact case. The father's not going to refuse, so it's fine. She could be Niseis Midas Atzma. The only reason that our Gemara is even an issue is because the father's alive. And he has a right of refusal. But a right of refusal doesn't mean you need his positive consent. So you don't need his positive consent.
So have you ever machlokas over there? Apparently there is an idea that you need his positive consent.
No, this is the argument. I'm saying, so I think, I forget who says what already. I think Rabbeinu Tam says that you don't need his positive input. Just that if he's alive, he can refuse. Nafkamina, if he's not there to refuse and he's not there to give consent. So it's fine. And I think Rabbeinu Ephraim, I may be switching them, I have to check again. I'm switching them?
No.
Yeah. I'm saying it right. Okay, Rabbeinu Ephraim says the other way. Rabbeinu Ephraim says, you know, it's a kinyan. Keep saying, it's a kinyan. How could she make a kinyan? She's a ketana. It's a kinyan ishus. It affects truma, it affects the ksuva, it affects Yerusha, Hafaras Nadarim, and so on. So the fact that he cannot cannot sanction this Nisuin, and you need that, that's a chisaro. We see for the Gemara, certainly if you want to answer the Ramban, that ain't a dom erison to Nisuin. It could be that Nisuin doesn't require what Erison requires, and therefore you can get his haskama after the fact, but you still need his Saying his haskama can come after the fact is not equivalent to saying that it's only a right of refusal. Maybe you need his positive input, but just don't need it for the maisa nisuin, only for the chalosa nisuin. But you still need it. If he's not there to give it at all, then you're stuck. So this is exactly the debate. And I believe it affects several other issues as well. So I think this would be a totally different approach than the approach of the Ramban. I think really there are three reasons why Nisuin is different here against the Ramban. Number one, if you operate on an umdana level, but this isn't going to help you in all the cases. Number one is you might say, well, he agreed in a case where he agrees to the Erusin, so then we have the right to presume about the Nisuin. He didn't agree that she should become an Eishes Ish, never to consummate the marriage, right? So there's an umdana, a stronger umdana. I think that's one approach. Second approach is what we've been saying, which is Ein Adom, Erusin to Nisuin. Erusin just requires much more to create it than Nisuin does. That's reflected in all sorts of things. Erikium, Levlav Das, why it's a much more specific Maisa as opposed to Nisuin, where we just don't even know what it is. Right? That ambiguity reflects that it's more of a symbol than it is a Maisa Kinyan. That's the second approach. The third approach is one I did mention, I think, previously, which is in the case of Erusin, you're talking about no framework. And in the context of no framework, there's no Bal Korcha, and you need the positive input of the parties in order to create the status of Eishes Ish. Once she's an Eishes Ish already, not only is the next phase not equivalent, but at least there's already something connecting them. There's a framework of a relationship here. And in the framework of that relationship, then there can be the imposing of the will of the husband. That we gave the example of Tosfos in the beginning of Ksuvos. We spoke about that last week. So for many reasons, at least three, if not more, I think you could answer the question of the Rambam. There is one difficulty that remains with Shitas HaRambam, and that's why, if you look at the Rambam, just to finish that up, Perek Chav Bey, the previous page, Perek Chav Bey, Halacha, hey, you'll see that this is exactly what it is. When it came to Erusin, the Rambam was pretty decisive that nothing is going to help you after the fact. When it comes to Nisuin, Ketanish and Iskancha, Ledas Aviyah, Venisa Shalom Ledas Aviyah, Ben Befana Ben Shalom Befana, Yachal Hav Limchos Kamashu B'Yarno. All the Rambam says is that he can refuse. But it's perfectly clear that if he agrees, even after the fact, then it'll be fine. Apilu Shasa Ka'av, Emesa, and Abal Yarsha, because we don't know whether he agrees. Elim Cain, Ratza Av Benisuel. But if he's Rotza Benisuel, it'll work. Mashain Cain, the Erusin. There's one problem, and that is the Rambam in the Parag Gimel, Achi Yud Gimel, and also Kalim struggled with it. Says the last words are Ubein he bein avia yichalom la'akev bein sheniskancha b'fana bein sheniskancha shalom b'fana einu mekudeshes. What does it mean? Bein he bein avia yichalom la'akev. That's a little strange, because it's not la'akev. It's even if he's nisratza la'achar mekain, unless that's what it means la'akev, meaning his lack of input is at the time is a killer. But what does it mean? Bein he yichalom la'akev. Sounds like there'd be a circumstance where her retraction of her agreement would matter. That's based on the next Gemara. That's a problem for the Rambam. If you look at the Gemara, I'll just run through to the Mishnah. The Gemara in Mem Vav Min Aleph says as follows: Itmar, Tana Sheniskatcha Sheladas Avia, Hamara Bein Hi Bein Avia Yicholin LaAkev. That's where this line came from in the Rambam. The way Rashi reads it is, Rashi says as follows, Rashi l'shitasa, v'chol na'akev, holo b'shas kabbalah lo nisratza av, im bo asa lachzor kodim shi nisratza av, chozeres, v'lo mahani ba oz ritzui ha'av. Rashi says, she agreed to the Kiddushin on Sunday, right? He is only going to find out about it on Thursday. So let's say on Wednesday, she changes her mind. And on Thursday, when he finds out, the father, he says, great idea. That's what it means, he yechola la'akev. So if you hold like Rashi, that's fine, because Rashi holds that if we knew for a fact that he would agree on Thursday, everything would be fine. So Rashi's saying, That's true only, especially if this is some sort of a delay, not just whether or not he's going milsa l'mafreya on what happened on Sunday, right? There are two stages here. So just like he has, when he finds out about it, determines she has like a little window of retraction till he finds out about it. That's great. But according to the Rambam and the Rif, that's very difficult to understand. Because he, even if he agrees, is not going to help. So, what does it mean that he ma'akeves? That's strange. The Ran, the Rishonim try to give answers for the Rambam, Kesa Mishnah, but that remains a point of difficulty in the Rambam. Okay, let's continue just till the end. Ravasi Ravi Avalohi, fine. Esve Ravuna Ravasi, Vamrla Chiabarav Ravasi. Imma Enim Enavia. Pasuk speaks about Pitui. Somebody enticed a young girl. And Pasuk says, in Ma'inu, in Avia, if the father refuses for her to get married, then a knas needs to be paid. Eli El Avia, he atzo minayin. What about if she refuses? Tavulamar, in Ma'inu, mikol makom. There's going to be knas under those conditions. Amalo Rav, lo tizlu basar ipka. But the problem is, you see from here, about the koach of her koach of miyun. So the Gemara says, Amalu Rav lo tizl basar itcha. Don't make the following mistake. Yochal ushnuya l'chu kagon shepita shalol shemishas. The case of Pitu is not a case where he marries her without her father's agreement. Now the question is, what's going to happen? And then you see from there that not only can he refuse, but she has a window of refusal as well. That's not the case. The case is Pitu shalol shemishas. He enticed her not in the context of marriage. Stop. That's what happens. And the question is now whether or not we will force him to marry her. So the Gemara says, Pitu shalol shemishas krabai. If the pitui took place and not in the context of ishas, do you need a pasuk to tell you that the father can refuse to allow her to marry him? The pasuk is trying to tell you that if he refuses to allow a marriage to go through, then the mefata will have to pay the knas, as opposed to if they do get married, then there'll be no knas. Omer Rav Yosef, he read behind the tnina, the hachi behind the tnina. That if that's the case, this is the pshat. Mar yomarenu al isha shetzricha imena kiddushin im pita l'shum ishus kiddushin lamale. It makes sense because mar yomarenu al isha means that they have to get married, but according to the view that we're talking about pitui means in the context of marriage, they already are married. It's only a question of whether or not the father gives the green light. Now here there's a very interesting argument, and with this we'll conclude. What does this mean, bein hi bein avia yichola la'akev? So in the context of pitui. So the Ramban asks the question, Tosfos asks the question, what will happen in a case where the father wants to give her over to marriage, but she refuses? So it sounds in the Gemara like she can be makeves, bein hi bein avyecho lakev, in the context of pitui. But the question is, if she's a ketana, the father can marry her off against her will. So if she's going to be married to this fellow, why do we care that she objects? So Tosis came up, Rashi and Tosis came up, it's a little clearer in Tosis, with the following Kiddush, and that is, even though the father can force a marriage, the rule that if there's a marriage, there's no knas pitui, is only a rule if the daughter is interested in the marriage. If the daughter is forced into the marriage by the father, but she herself is unhappy about it, then there'll be a marriage and knas. It's a huge chiddush. That's what Tosfos says here. Rashi implies it as well, but it's a little clearer in two Tosfos. And if you look at Dibur Maskil, Kro Boy. I look towards the bottom. Oh, this is the whole thing. Pir Shalote Ishta Bosa Bia Pshita. Now, filo lo yema'enu eno ishto v'hach via. Kivin jepita shol l'shem ishos. Pishlo ma'im pita l'shem ishos ashminu chidush deveni avena v'yachol la'akev. Al hashto ma'i chidush ashmina. V'leik l'meim v'dekra. You can't say that the Pasuk is coming to teach you hachi kamar. Shim yo avia l'kadsha l'osa mefata. if the father is going to marry her off to this fellow, shetucha bita lema'ein, that she can refuse. The pshita sheyocha lekad shebakarcha, because he has the right to marry her off against her will. U'mishani lomar shemishalim knas kimafuta. That is exactly the case. The father marries her off to this mefata against her will, and the issue is whether there will be knas. Pierce the olam irish of pita shaloshemisha. So pila hashmina rabusa the chima akva'i. When she refuses, even though the marriage will go through because of the father, mishalim knas. The kamod tala kosev knas the mefuta b'miyun av kach tlao b'miyun dida. Her refusal doesn't save her from being married to him. And that's what Tosa says in the next piece, the Ramaskal Omar Yosef Ihachi as well. But if you compare that to the Ramban disagrees. The bottom, the same Ramban, but it's a little cut off in yours towards the bottom. But the last piece on the second column of this we conclude. Ramban says, "Lomar shemshalim knas kemefuta ain perusha bara etzli sheim ha'av rotsa lekabel kiddusha v'alkarcha." He says, "What's going on here? If the father wants to marry her off, vaday in a mishalim knas sheim mefata nos and elik shelo yichnos. As long as there's a marriage, if it turns out that there's a marriage, right, then there's not going to be knas pitui. V'imamar somebody ha'ish rotsani." And he wrote, if the father says, you know what, I agree to this marriage if my daughter wants it. So what do you say? She can be ma'akebes, because if she says no, there won't be a marriage, and then there'll be a knas. The Ramban says, no, come on, that's a trick. It's just that he set up the conditions. It's not that she's refusing. He's refusing under the conditions that she doesn't want it. It's his refusal, not hers. Kamash Rulon Kivin Shena wrote, Mishalim Knas, Pshita, Shazah Ikav Shalavu. Shaina Rotsa. Ella im Rotsta he. He only wants what she wants. It's not her refusal, it's the circumstances of his refusal. The nearest, the Ramban comes up with a chiddush. Kagon, Sha'amar Ha'ab, Shasamada Bedin, Rotsani. Ubahi Vamra Akrechain, Aini Rotsa. Let's say the father says, you know what, comes to court, he says, the settlement, as far as I'm concerned, you can marry her. That'll be fine. Right? And she says, I don't want. And then the father's so impressed that she doesn't want. So the father says, listen, I meant well, but she doesn't want it. So forget about it. We go back to the knas. Or he dies. Kamash Milan de Mishalem Knas, Mishum Biuna. So basically, Ramban is a very interesting idea. Ramban says, listen, if he says, I'm going to allow this marriage if she wants it, that's considered his refusal. But if he says, I'm interested in the marriage, and then at a later point, he says that in Bezdin, at the time of Hamad Bedin, during the case, during the trial. And then later, because she complains, he retracts. He can't retract from a miyun, from that point of view, from a knas point of view. But since lemaisa, he's not going to implement the marriage, that's considered ikuv shela. In other words, if he sets it up in advance, these are the conditions of my agreement, that's his miyun. If he really agrees, but because of her, doesn't implement, that's her miyun. But what ends up is a very fascinating argument between Rashi and Tosa on one side and the Ramban on the other. And according to the Ramban, it's never, ever possible to have a situation where the mefata marries the mefuta and still pays a knas. According to Tosa and Rashi and Tosa, that's not correct. If she is unhappy about the marriage, even if there's a marriage, there'll still be a knas. So the knas is not a quid pro quo for the marriage, according to Rashi and Tosas. It's a quid pro quo, I guess, for resolving the matter with all of the parties. The pacification, I guess. But if you don't have that with the Isha, even though there'll be a marriage, there'll still be a knas. That's a good trivia question. Can you have, knas pitui when there's still can you? Can you and how? You can't according to the Ramban, you could according to Rashi. This is a Kiddush for the Ramban and there's a Kiddush for Rashi Tos. Okay. Next time we'll start with the next Mishnah and then Bav, and especially the issue of the Kaddish the Milva, which is a very important topic. Okay.